morning starts anew, and with a shiny dew, everything's covered. The sunny sky is clear, the darkness is not here, the new day's coming.
Hi, this is Roseanne, all the way from Southern California, and host of California Dreaming, and you are listening to the Salty Canadian Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Salty Canadian Podcast. I would like to thank Roseanne from California Dreaming for the bumper at the beginning of the show. So make sure you head over and check out her podcast. It is actually really, really good. And now on to some little bit of housekeeping. If you like the show, please make sure you head over to the Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast catcher you use. Leave a rating and review. It helps get the show seen and will basically help get everything to where it should be. Secondly, if you're a fan of the show, please head over to patreon.com/thesaltycanadian and make a pledge. There are some cool things on there, and it will help me be able to cover my hosting fees, as I have decided to switch to a bi-weekly podcast, so maybe I can make episodes a little bit longer, as I have limited space. If you like the show, be sure to head over to there. I'm going to start doing some more Patreon-only episodes, which should be a lot of fun. If you don't want to rate and review on your favorite podcast catcher or on Apple Podcasts, you could always head over to my Facebook page, The Salty Canadian Podcast, and leave a review on there. Also, don't forget to go over and join the Salty Canadian Podcast rant room. We'd love to have everybody over there who enjoys the podcast, and hopefully start getting some more people talking. So today is going to be a lot of fun. I am going to be talking about one of my favorite hobbies I like to do from time to time, which is called geocaching. So all the information I am gathering is off the geocaching.com website. So if you want to go there and look at it yourself, it is at geocaching.com. So here's just what they have as a little intro to geocaching. So geocaching is like a treasure hunt, but in the real world. So you basically go out and hunt for these little treasures. There is millions of geocaches worldwide. They can be found in parks, urban areas, forests, deserts, on top of mountains, underwater, pretty much anywhere, and you probably have a few around you. What you would need to help get started with geocaching, you would need either the geocaching app, a GPS device, or any other geocaching app. And you also have to make sure that you sign up with an account so you'll be able to log your finds online. And it's really fun to do. So basically, if you want to use the app, all you have to do is select the nearest cache that you want to go to, or any cache you want to go to, and then press start to navigate. Once you find the cache, you sign the logbook, and then you return everything to where you found it, and then you go on to your app and share how much you like finding the cash, and basically log it. If you're going to use a GPS, all you have to do is go online to geocaching.com and download the coordinates to your GPS, and then go find the cache. Then basically the same thing. Once you find it, sign the logbook, return everything back to their original location, and then log your find. So it's actually a lot of fun. So here are some tips for when you go out geocaching. Once you get to the location of the cache, you need to use your other senses to locate it. Sometimes there will be a little hint in the description of the geocache itself, like the geocaching page. So make sure you just use your eyes, hands, and look around for it. Sometimes you're going to want to look for something that seems out of place. So something that may vary in size, shape, color. You're going to want to check under leaves, rocks, things like that. Look up in trees. And basically, look for something that's out of the ordinary. Sometimes they can also be disguised, so they may be rocks. Sometimes I found one in a birdhouse, or something that may be an everyday item that you may not know what you're looking for. What I'll do is I'll post some pictures of caches that I have found myself on my Instagram page, and it'll also be on Facebook. So if you want to take a look to see what some kinds of different ones look like and the different sizes, it'll be fun that way. You also want to kind of be like a detective and maybe ask yourself questions like, if I were a geocache, where would I hide? Kind of thing. One thing you also have to realize is geocaches will never be buried, so you don't have to worry about digging up things unless you live in a snowy area. You may have to dig through some snow, but they'll never be buried underground. Or they'll be, say, up in trees, maybe in bushes. You want to make sure you look everywhere, up, down, around. You want to basically make sure you thoroughly searched the area. When you're out geocaching, make sure that you respect surroundings. So you don't want to walk through people's flower beds or damaged property trying to find the cache. Also, one thing I would suggest doing is going back and checking the activity on the geocaching page. And sometimes you may find hints, or there may be a picture of the area around where the cache might be. And always be patient with yourself. It takes time to find caches, but it's really fun to do. And you always want to make sure that you have a pen. Some caches do require you to bring your own writing utensil because they can be extremely small. this will be located in the geocache's description, that if you need to bring your own pen or not. Another fun thing with finding caches, the bigger caches do end up always having little trinkets and things, or trackable items that you will be able to trade out for other things. You can leave nice items in it and basically have a little collection. My 4-year-old daughter actually has a swag container, as I like to call it. So basically stuff we all get. And it's a nice container. She puts the things in that she gets when we go geocaching, because she loves to geocache, even being 4 years old, as she's been geocaching with us since she's been a year old. So now there's a few things that you would want to bring with you in a well-stocked geocaching bag. So maybe an extra GPS unit with batteries, or if you use your phone, I would highly suggest getting those chargeable battery packs. Maybe grab a few of them. Make sure they're charged well beforehand so that you'll be able to use them if your battery starts to drain. You'll want to have some swag for trading. So little trinkets, it could be little toys from the dollar store for kids. You don't want to put things like condoms, cigarettes, things like that are not okay. Especially no candy should be put into geocaches, as it would attract animals. You're going to also want to carry some extra logbooks and pencils, pens, stuff you can write with. Water and snacks. You always want to make sure you're well hydrated. If it's not one of those park and grab caches, sometimes they require quite a hike to find. You're going to want a flashlight, sunscreen, bug repellent, a rain poncho in case it's raining. Any tools that you'll need to, say, maybe reach the cache, say it's high up in the tree, you can't climb the tree. You may want to have a small step ladder or something. Maybe tweezers to be able to get out the log if it's in a tiny container. You could use batteries, as some geocaches are gadget caches. And one I have actually found, which is a really cool one, called Pirate Radio, which is located in the next town for me. It actually required a battery and the use of your car, because you actually had to listen to the radio to get the combination for the cache that way to be able to open it. You can always bring extra pens. I have a pair of scissors. I've got tweezers, batteries. I've got different swag items. I've got extra paper, pens. I also have some extra baggies in case the one in the cache is destroyed. And I have different sizes of logs that can be put into caches if one needs to be replaced. I've got Kleenex, wet wipes, change of clothes. A change of clothes is always a good idea. And also you want to make sure you have a first aid kit, so in case you get injured while geocaching, you can help yourself. So like band-aids and things like that. And it is definitely a lot of fun when you go out and this. There is a bunch of caches that I found that I have really liked, and it's always such a good thing. Now, with just the basic membership with geocaching, you get to find only the non-premium caches, which are basically find little caches. Some people like to put them as premium because it helps get people who would vandalize them away. So many magic caches are actually premium caches. So you need a premium membership to be able to get them. So a membership for about a year costs $40 American, which is about $42 or so Canadian. It may vary from wherever you are, but if you would love to get the premium membership, you can always find premium caches and all the better caches and have fun that way if you're something you would really, really like to do. We've had the premium one for a couple years, and it definitely is better when you get trackables and stuff. So you can put them in a cache that's appropriate for them so they don't get stolen and things, because everybody loves to have their trackables. And it's just basically all out fun. So what I'm going to get into now is some things I like to do. So I really like going out geocaching because I find it's a good, healthy, cheap way to get out and exercise at any time of the year. So if you think about it, if you buy a gym membership, you're usually paying monthly for those. Geocaching is, if you buy the premium membership, you can buy either a 3 month or a year. So you either renew every 3 months or you can renew every year. So it's just a one-time fee for that time, instead of a gym where you're looking at paying a monthly fee. So I find it's really one of those cheap options to get you out there and exercising. It's a good family activity. So a lot of families like to go out there and geocache. There are tons of Facebook groups that you can join and always have fun talking to other geocachers. Sometimes there are geocaching events and all these fun things. But I like the creativity of the different caches that I have found, as well as once you've gotten enough finds. Some people say you need at least 50 finds to go ahead and hide a cache. But I think if you love it and you're going to be able to maintain it, then you should definitely be able to hide your own cache without being criticized. You can use many different containers and just have all out fun. Like I said, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to post some of the caches that I have found on my Instagram page. It'll be on my Facebook page and all that fun stuff. I'll share some on Twitter so that you guys can go ahead and take a look at what I have found. I haven't found very many, and I've been doing this since 2014, so it's been more of a casual thing for me, but I enjoy doing it as it gets me out exercising. Once again, I would like to thank Roseanne for the bumper at the beginning. If you would like to do a bumper, all you have to do is record your name, where you're from. If you have a podcast, include that. And then just say, you're listening to the Salty Canadian Podcast. And then go ahead and send them to thesaltycanadian@gmail.com. And I will gladly enter them into the beginning of my podcast, so that you'll have a little bit of a different look. But anyways, that's it for me today. Stay tuned in few weeks, I'm going to have a kind of funny podcast based on some crazy Canadian crimes that were ever committed. And, like, they are the most Canadian crimes ever. So I hope you come back and listen and enjoy. So don't be salty and have a great day. Okay?